So the Bible says that nothing is impossible with God. We have in Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." God calls himself Almighty. In Genesis 17:1, God says to Abraham, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." So God is Almighty and can do anything. But what does that really mean? Are there things God cannot do? Yes. In fact, there are quite a few things God cannot do. God cannot author confusion. God cannot be tempted by sin. God cannot be unjust. God cannot be pleased without faith. God cannot deny himself. God cannot lie. God cannot be biased. God cannot change. God cannot give his glory to another, and God cannot end. This is by no means an exhaustive list, just representative. As you read through your Bible on your own, you'll find even a whole lot more than these 10 things that I have here this morning. But to start, God cannot author confusion. We have in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 32 and 33, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." People often dig deep into philosophical thought and come out with some unreasonable question, like, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? Or can God make a square circle? Those are the two most common ones you hear. Or, if God adds 2 plus 2, can he get 5 if he wants? And the answer to these is no, no, and no. For the simple reason that God is not the author of confusion. The only reason that people come up with such ideas is because they don't understand what the Bible means when it says God can do anything. God cannot do anything that is contrary to his nature. There is no limit of the power of God to accomplish what he sets out to do. If God decides to do something, there is no stopping him, because he is almighty and he can do anything. The things that God cannot do are things that are contrary to his nature, so it is impossible for him even to want to, even to set out, even to start. And God cannot do things that contradict themselves. God cannot be tempted by sin. We read in James 1:13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." The devil tempted Jesus from the outside in, but there was nothing in the heart of Jesus to tempt himself. And this is of great importance, because there are Christians out there who will speak of the temptation of Jesus as though his very being was inclined to fall to the devil's temptations. But that is completely false. Jesus did not triumph over this temptation by a hair's breadth. He triumphed gloriously. There was not an atom in his body that felt those feelings of desire for sin that we all know so well. The very next verse in James makes this clear when we read, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The devil was able to take Jesus and put him in a situation where temptations presented themselves before him. But the devil was unable to get Jesus to lust after those temptations the way you and I would have. Not even for a split second did Jesus begin to lust. Because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is drawn away. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. God cannot be unjust. This is a very important one. We read in Deuteronomy 32:4, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. This verse says it all. God is perfect. He cannot be imperfect. God is truth. He cannot lie. He is without iniquity. He is just. He cannot be unjust. He is right. He cannot be wrong. God knows everything and is not partial. And it is impossible for God to pass a judgment that is less than perfect. And to take this a slightly different direction, I want to look at Romans 3, verses 21 through 26. We read, Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The implication of this verse is that God would be unjust to forgive sin that had not been paid for. Speaking about Christ and His payment for sin, it says that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And then we have in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things by the law are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. This sermon was inspired by a guy I work with, and he was asking me, why can't God stoop to our level and work with us as sinners? God can do anything, can't he? Why can't he just take every person to heaven, even Hitler, and work with them there until they figure it out? I responded by telling him that God cannot do everything. In fact, there's many things God cannot do. And I explained to him that anything contrary to his nature, he cannot do. And that God being holy, such an idea was impossible for the holy God that he is. And then he says, why does God have to be that holy? I'm grateful that God is as holy as He is, because it goes the other way too. We have in Hebrews 6:10, For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God says, My righteousness forbids me to forget your labor and work. The righteousness of God forbids Him to forgive even the smallest unpaid for sin. But it also forbids Him to forget your labor of love. Matthew 10:42, And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. This goes further because John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't fully enter into why being faithful and just means that he has to forgive our sins that we confess. But I know a lot of it comes to do with the fact that the context of Scripture implies that for true confession, there must be faith in Jesus. And here we find that it would be unjust for him not to forgive a sin that was confessed by faith in Jesus Christ. God is not in heaven deciding who is going to be forgiven and who is not. His very nature dictates it. Because God cannot be unjust and forgive any unpaid for sin. Nor can he be unjust and refrain from forgiving any sin that was paid for. God cannot be pleased without faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If it were possible to do every work of Christianity and perform it without having faith in God, God would still not be pleased. That is impossible, but even if it was, it still wouldn't please God. And the glorious implication of this is that, on the other hand, God cannot see true faith without being pleased. Jesus said that with faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. God cannot deny himself. We have in 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13, it is a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." We just learned that God cannot be unjust and forgive sin that was not paid for. And here we find that same idea reassured. God cannot forgive the smallest sin that has not been paid for. And here, God cannot deny justice to him who does not believe in Jesus. And I think the implication of this is that the opposite is also true. God also cannot refrain from forgiving the vilest sin once the doer of it has believed on Jesus. If in your mind you struggle with doubt and unbelief, yet in your heart you do truly believe in Jesus, God cannot deny himself from forgiving you. This is a principle of the character of God. God cannot deny himself. No matter how weak your faith is, if it's hidden from even your own eyes, so God would have no accountability if he chose not to forgive you, yet he abideth faithful. His own character dictates that he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny forgiveness to anyone who meets the requirements. And on the other hand, no matter how good your life may look, if you have not believed on Jesus, God abideth faithful and he cannot deny himself. Justice must be done. If you do not have that faith that pleases God, God's justice cannot be denied. But justice, as we just saw, was not the only character of God that cannot be denied. Not one of them can be. We have in Psalm 51:7, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." God cannot deny justice when justice must be done, but he cannot deny mercy when the means for mercy have been met. God cannot despise a broken and contrite heart. Because there is nothing in the heart of God that is sin by any measurement, there is nothing he would ever have a reason to deny. Self-denial is something we do because of our inclination towards sin. But because God's inclinations are always towards righteousness, God cannot deny himself. Because to deny his desires, to deny his inclinations would be to deny righteousness. God cannot deny himself. What he desires, he does. What he wishes, he accomplishes. What he loves, he protects. What he hates, he destroys. And no man can say, "What doest thou?" And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" Daniel 4:35. God cannot lie. We have in Titus 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. If God tried with all his might to utter something that was not true, he couldn't. Yet, that's a hypothetical situation, because God in truth is truth. And not only is it impossible for God to lie, it is impossible for him even to try. Hebrews 6:17. God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God cannot lie. And another, God cannot be biased. We have in Romans 2:11, "For there is no respect of persons with God." Acts 10:34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." One of the great problems in this world today is racial bias. It can be hard even for a loving Christian to fully eradicate bias from his thought and actions. But this is a struggle that God cannot even enter into. There is not one drop of bias in his entire being. There is no respect of persons with God. God cannot change. A well-loved verse is Hebrews 13:8. "Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever." In this world of change and decay, there is one place we can rest with confidence. God does not and cannot change. God cannot change his word. He cannot change his promise. He cannot change his judgment, and he cannot change his nature. Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." When we change, God does not. And God could not change the promise he had made to Jacob. And for that reason, the children of Jacob were not consumed. God cannot give his glory to another. Some say, if God can do anything, couldn't he make another God? No, he cannot. Isaiah 42:8, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." God cannot create another God. God cannot take an angel and make him God. God cannot take a man and make him God. Only God is from eternity past, and God will not share his glory with any. And God cannot end. Psalm 102:27, but thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The world makes movies and TV shows that publish the idea that God is dead. Then other people make a movie titled, God is Not Dead. But I believe that Christians should stay out of the realm altogether. Dead and not dead are terms we use to express physical things. To use such a phrase about an infinite being that has had no beginning and cannot have an end seems a little too light and frivolous. Deuteronomy 32:27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This verse is rightly loved for the comfort it brings to those in trouble. But I find it interesting that so many times you will hear it without the first part. The eternal God is thy refuge. That means just as much as underneath are the everlasting arms. They both carry that same idea of eternal protection. Not just God's not dead yet, but God cannot end. God cannot end. So God cannot author confusion. God cannot be tempted by sin. God cannot be unjust. God cannot be pleased without faith. God cannot deny himself. God cannot lie. God cannot be biased. God cannot change. God cannot give his glory to another, and God cannot end. Are just 10 of the things that God cannot do, in which, as you read through your Bible, you'll find many, many more.